Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. Before the break, we talked about development patterns and what happens to open space as Milwaukee grows south and Chicago grows north. There is an example, though, of new development in that corridor that has resulted in more open space, not less. For years, the waterfront in Kenosha was dominated by industry, factories like the American Motors Lakefront plant and earlier the Simmons Mattress Factory. The closure of the AMC plant in 1988 had a major impact on the Kenosha economy, but it also resulted in the transformation of the waterfront. It's now dominated by Harbor Park, condos, a streetcar line, and Kenosha's museum campus, the Kenosha Public Museum and Civil War Museum. And so we wondered what role arts and culture might play in growing the entire region. Paula Tuohy is the director of the Kenosha Public Museums, which also include the nearby Dinosaur Discovery Museum. We spoke with her from her office on the lakefront. Welcome to Lake Effect. Thanks for making time for us.
It's a pleasure to be talked with you.
Let's talk about where the Kenosha Public Museums fit in. First of all, who do you serve? Who does the Kenosha Public Museum, the Dinosaur Discovery Museum, and the Civil War Museum? Who's your audience?
Well, that's an interesting question because our audience is different for all three museums, actually. And that's one of the strengths because we really see us as a regional museum. We certainly reach into Lake County and Illinois, but also in out west as well as to Milwaukee and even further north. And we really think that we can reach further as we develop our exhibits and our message to people as well, because we're very attractive as far as destination. We're right off the highway. And what is a strength is that if people are interested in the Civil War and come to that museum, the Kenosha Public Museum is just a few steps away, and they might just have a few minutes, and they can stop in and see what, and pretty much we usually drag them in then for a longer time.
So you see the campus concept is kind of building on itself, that the draw for the Civil War Museum might be the Public Museum, or the draw for the Public Museum might be the Civil War Museum or the Dinosaur Discovery Museum.
Right. We certainly do have people and groups that come specifically for one museum, but people do like to have more to do, more opportunities than what they have time to do. And so Harbor Park does lend itself very well. Besides the three museums, there's the streetcar, as well as just the beautiful walking along the lake and the harbor. And that's really the whole concept of Harbor Park.
Do you feel like, is there enough culture in Kenosha for there to be kind of an independent cultural community here, or is there some dependence on the regional cultural economy, if you will, for you to be able to succeed?
Well, I think that, you know, Kenosha's probably past reputation hasn't been exactly cultural. I mean, but I think that really has changed. And we have really seen a difference as people bring their relatives back and they come in and they say, I can't believe this is here. Or we have groups coming in from outside, and they are always impressed with the museums and Harbor Park. And this has really led to fostering a greater cultural awareness. And I think that will just grow because besides the museum campus on Harbor Park, there is Kemper Center, which is just south of us. We have the two lighthouses, and we have the Kenosha History Center to the north of us, as well as many galleries that are opening up. And also the beautiful park system. There's quite a culture here that I'm sure many people don't even know about.
Let me ask you the chicken and the egg question. How much does development around the museum campus depend on the museums, and how much do the museums depend on the development around it?
Yes, that's a very good question. And I think... Well, it goes both ways. It definitely does because, you know, as we have had neighbors, we do have more visitors, and you get more supporters that way. And people coming down, I mean, they stay longer because now they can come to one museum, go have lunch in the downtown area, and come back. And that's what we really want to promote, is that you can visit your museums more than once, and you can put it together with doing something else, or you can come down for one of the events and still, you know, visit the museums. And I think they do really support each other.
Obviously, to make it work, though, you have to convince people that they should be coming here or to the broader Kenosha community versus somewhere else. Who do you see yourself in competition with? Is it with museums in other places, or is it with other things like shopping or other kinds of activities?
Well, it certainly is shopping, and we always the Kenosha Area Convention and Visitors Bureau does help us with advertising and things like that. But they always do a format on where people go. And of course, shopping is always number one. And number two is always Jelly Belly, the visitor center there. So my goal is that the museums outdo that. We haven't made it there yet. But we have a couple things coming up. One is that we will be, in 2012, we will have a sign and I-94 that says Kenosha Downtown Area Museums. So that will help people come down. It's very easy to get to Kenosha downtown to the lake. The market, the harbor market on Saturdays brings a lot of people, and it has really turned into an event. And we have many events down here. There's the marathon, the Wisconsin Marathon. There's Taste of Kenosha. These sorts of events, the rendezvous, bring many outsiders in for that purpose, but then they see us. So, I think that helps grow your audience.
This spot was obviously not always a museum campus. Can you talk about the effort that had to come together for the transition to take place from what was here before to what is here now?
Oh, yes, that was a very interesting process, and actually, Harbor Park, there was 60 acres down here that was the Simmons Mattress Factory, AMC, Chrysler, all those different renditions. And when they left, most of the buildings were torn down. But so this just laid idle. And the land was given to the city because of the pollution and the liability. And the city administration, led by former mayor John Antaramian, really is, because this was a brownfield. This was, and they really wanted to do this right. So along with City Administrator Nick Arnold and the many department heads, they started planning what would happen here. It was a lot of community input. They had community meetings. They had a progress committee. They really studied the whole thing. And so where did the museum come in on this? Well, we didn't come in, and I was part of the progress committee and as far as looking at what the space would be used for. But it wasn't until a little bit later that the idea of putting the museum, the Kenosha Public Museum, down here really came forth. And once that happened, then I was part of the Harbor Park committee of department heads. And when the museum was built here, we were the first building out here. The site is interesting because from 2nd Avenue East is all filled in land, so that's public trust land. And to the west of 2nd Avenue could be used for commercial purposes, such as you have the condos now.
Given your druthers, what would you like to see happen next in this part of Kenosha? What would benefit the museum campus and the community at large the most? Obviously the condos are here, the two museums are here. The downtown area looks like it's kind of a hybrid of old and new. So what's the direction you hope this region moves?
Well, I think the more activity there is here and how we can connect the downtown with the Harbor Park, the more use it will get. And I also think that we have some plans to market into Chicago because the Metro train station is right here. And I do think that the I-94 signs will definitely be a part of it. But people are looking for things to do for family, and I can't tell you how many times people will say, oh, and your parking is free, you know. So you can park here, you can enjoy the lakefront, you can picnic, you can enjoy the museums, a market, there's events here. And I guess it's just getting the word out.
Do you see, is that your biggest challenge at this point, is just awareness?
Well, yes, definitely, because as a museum, and we're the system is part of the city. So as all municipal governments, we're having some challenges right now. And economically, you know, some of our revenues are down due to what everyone is suffering. So that is really a challenge. And so how do we market the museum? Our dollars are very slight, and we have used the state of Wisconsin and the Joint Effort Marketing Grant, the GEM grants, to do some of our events. We partner with the Kenosha Area Visitor and Convention Bureau, whatever way we can get people to come. And so once they get here, then the sale is easy.
Well, Paula Tuohy, thank you so much for sharing the story of the Kenosha Public Museums.
Thank you very much, and come visit often.
Paula Tuohy is the director of the Kenosha Public Museums, which include the Kenosha Public Museum, the Kenosha Civil War Museum, and the Dinosaur Discovery Museum. We spoke with her at her office in Kenosha as part of our Project Milwaukee Southern Connections series. We'll continue our look at the place of culture in the regional economy on tomorrow's show. And of course, you can hear all of our Project Milwaukee interviews and news features at wuwm.com/Project Milwaukee. We'll step away from Project Milwaukee, but stay with an arts and culture theme after the break and get a preview of a new exhibit on Victorian excess, gastronomic excess. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.